This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello, and welcome to today's readings of selections from the June-July issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, we have reviews in children and family listening. We have reviews of The Remarkable Journey of Coyote Sunrise, written by Dan Gemeinhardt, read by Christine Vaughn, and Song for a Whale, written by Lynn Kelly and read by Abigail Ravache. Both are Earphones winners. Then we have the last but definitely not least of our new Golden Voice profiles. We'll hear all about multiple award-winning narrator Suzanne Torin. Let's get right to it. Our first review in Children and Family Listening today is an Earphones winner, and as you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that excel in all the following criteria: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, enhancement of the text, and appropriateness for the audio format. Our first review today is Twice Magic, The Wizards of Once, Book 2, by Cressida Cowell. It's an Earphones winner, read by David Tennant. Narrator David Tennant returns for this sequel. He gives each character a voice so distinct that this audiobook is comparable to a full cast production. The wizard Czar practices dark magic, but at what cost? The warrior, Wish, has innate magical abilities, skills that are unheard of among her people. Czar and Wish set out on a quest to rid their land of witches and act they believe will fix all their problems. Characters have accents that represent a variety of dialects across the British Isles. Listeners enjoying this audiobook should be warned that booming sound effects sometimes appear seemingly out of nowhere. More appealing are the few occasions when the characters share the songs of their clans. Tennant sings these beautifully. Shira Pilarski wrote that review of Twice Magic, The Wizards of Once, Book 2 by Cressida Cowell. It's an Earphones winner, read by David Tennant, and it's available from Hachette Audio for 5.5 hours, unabridged, ages 8 and up. Next, we have The Lost Girl by Anne Ursu, read by Kathleen McInerney. Narrator Kathleen McInerney delivers all the heavy tween emotions writer Anne Ursu serves up in this empowering story of magical realism for middle grades. Fifth grade twins, Iris and Lark, feel lost when they are placed in separate classrooms for the first time. Outspoken Iris tries to define herself while worrying that no one will stand up for sensitive Lark. McInerney paints the girls with starkly different tones, brash and combative for Iris, but soft and vulnerable for Lark. The Midwestern vowels in some of the adult voices complement the Minnesota setting. As items around town go missing, the school day turmoil the girls face is eclipsed by something far more frightening and mystical. Sunny Carrito wrote that review of The Lost Girl by Anne Ursu. It's read by Kathleen McInerney, and it's available from Harper Audio for 8.5 hours, unabridged, ages 8 and up. Our next review is Sweeping Up the Heart by Kevin Hanks, read by Lisa Flanagan. Narrator Lisa Flanagan's calm, uniform voice matches the tone of this sensitive story about two 12-year-olds who are navigating a new friendship and difficult emotions. Amelia's mother died when she was a baby, and her father is still emotionally distant and grieving. An artist, Amelia finds sanctuary in a nearby clay studio where she meets a kindred spirit in the owner's visiting nephew, Casey, whose parents are contemplating divorce. The story relies on observations of the characters' nuanced emotions rather than dialogue or fast-paced action, and this is where Flanagan shines. Her measured narration honors Hanks's lyrical language, but balances it with authentic, relatable portrayals of the two young people. Sonia Cole wrote that review of Sweeping Up the Heart by Kevin Hanks. It's read by Lisa Flanagan, and it's available from Harper Audio for 2.75 hours of unabridged listening, ages 8 and up. Our next review is Sal and Gabby Break the Universe. It's written by Carlos Hernandez, and it's an Earphones winner read by Anthony Ray Perez. Narrator Anthony Ray Perez dives in and out of English and Spanish, giving this audiobook the ambiance of Cuban-American culture. He skillfully interprets the mix of realistic and fantastic events and maintains the fast pace of this compelling listen. He is outstanding at portraying the hero, Salvador Vidan, a magician with a secret. Since his mother died, Sal has created tears in the universe through which he brings in objects from other worlds and versions of his mommy. He finds friendship and partnership with sensitive Gabi Real, whom Perez depicts expertly, along with her large, strange family. Perez fully captures these two heroes, their growing regard for each other, and their creative collaborations. Susie Wild wrote that review of Sal and Gabby Break the Universe. It's written by Carlos Hernandez, and it's an Earphones winner read by Anthony Ray Perez. It's available from Listening Library for 9.5 hours unabridged, ages 8 and up. Next, we have A Good Kind of Trouble by Lisa Moore, Rami, read by Imani Parks. With youthful immediacy, Imani Parks narrates this slice-of-life story about a smart, well-behaved seventh grader named Shayla. Shay hopes to avoid trouble as she navigates typical middle school rites of passage, such as first crushes and shifting social dynamics. But after attending a Black Lives Matter protest with her family, she begins to consider her African-American identity in new ways, prompting her to risk the consequences of challenging an unjust school rule. By imbuing all of Shay's experiences with equal and unaffected sincerity, Parks ensures that listeners understand how deeply the personal and political intersect in Shay's life. She can be stressing about Snapchat pics one minute and confronting institutional racism the next. Tweens and families alike will be drawn into this affirming, thought-provoking audiobook. Rebecca Honeycutt wrote that review of A Good Kind of Trouble by Lisa Moore Ramey, read by Imani Parks. It's available from Harper Audio for 6.75 hours of unabridged listening. Next we have The Remarkable Journey of Coyote Sunrise. It's written by Dan Gemeinhardt, and it's read by Christine Vaughn, and it is an Earphones winner. Christine Vaughn's narration is as heartfelt as the story of 12-year-old Coyote Sunrise. As Coyote and her dad Rodeo crisscross the country in a refitted school bus in search of the next delicious meal or some other particular delight, they avoid the heartbreak that befell them 5 years earlier. All this changes with one phone conversation and a cross-country trek against time ensues. Vam's Coyote radiates bravado and a can-do attitude that mirrors her father's. Yet this bravado turns on a dime into whispery sadness or stone-voiced determination as Coyote comes to realize that hiding from the past has kept her from being her true self, hard as that may be. The bus rolls along, picking up additional passengers, all with stories of their own and voices to match their personalities. Both the story and Vam's distinctive narration will linger in listeners' minds. Ann Ritchie wrote that review of The Remarkable Journey of Coyote Sunrise. It's written by Dan Gemeinhardt, It's an earphones winner read by Christine Vaughn, and it's available from Macmillan Audio for 9.25 hours unabridged, ages 10 and up. Next, we have Song for a Whale by Lynn Kelly, an earphones winner read by Abigail Ravash. Iris is a 12-year-old deaf girl. She prefers American Sign Language to speech, but listeners can still hear her every thought and sign. This is thanks to Abigail Ravash, who expressively narrates Iris's ASL conversations and mental musings. Iris struggles as a deaf girl in a mainstream school, often feeling isolated. When she learns of Blue 55, an unusual whale that sings at a frequency unrecognizable to other whales, Iris empathizes with his plight and devises a way to use technology to help him. Ravash captures Iris's frustration and anger as she furiously signs her displeasure to her parents, who refuse to let her participate in the Blue 55 tracking expedition, which takes place 3,000 miles from her home. Other times, Ravash conveys the linguistic beauty of ASL in this insightful glimpse into deaf culture. Lisa Taylor wrote that review of Song for a Whale by Lynn Kelly. It's an earphones winner read by Abigail Ravash, and it's available from Listening Library for 6.5 hours, unabridged, ages 8 and up. This is just a reminder that you are listening to the June-July issue of Audiophile Magazine. This month, our issue celebrates our newest Golden Voice narrators. And while I'm on the subject, why don't we hear from our newest, fifth of our newest narrators, Suzanne Torin. How many audiobooks have you recorded? Audiophile asked. Suzanne, I don't know exactly, but I figure it's around 1,000. The reason I say that is that many years ago, in the early 90s, I received an award from the American Foundation for the Blind, with whom I started recording books before it became a thing for sighted people. They gave me an award for having narrated 500 books for them. And that was already at a time when I was also working for other commercial companies. So I figure between then and over 20 years later, it must be around 1,000. Audiophile asked, what is the most interesting piece of research you've done for an audiobook? I would say the two bits of research that were outstanding were both for books that I did years ago for the Foundation for the Blind. One was a book about Isak Dinesen, which had tons of Danish in it, and at that time I called the Danish consulate here in New York, and I went for 4 days in a row. I spoke to a lovely woman who gave me her time and her attention and her love of her country and her language and Isak Dinesen, and told me how to pronounce things. And then the other thing that was interesting was more the circumstances of how I did the research for a book that had lots of Russian in it. I called the Russian consulate and was told that I needed to make an appointment with the librarian. On the day that I arrived, I walked into the building, and there's a very narrow little passageway and a person sitting behind an old-fashioned teller windows that have vertical bars in front of them. And I said why I was there and that I was expected. She let me in a door which led to a large waiting room. The walls were lined with shelves on which were copies of a magazine called Soviet Life. This all was before 1989, so it was still the Soviet Union. I'm sitting in there by myself, and all of a sudden, out from the interior of the building come four men in dark suits and white shirts. They walk in, and they start looking around at the magazines. They have their hands behind their backs, facing away from me. And my first thought, although I have no proof of this whatsoever, is that they were KGB or something. They were checking me out to make sure I was not some enemy. Nobody did or said anything to me. Nobody was actively threatening, but I felt very strongly that I was in a police state. And then the lovely librarian came out and got me. She took me back into her area. We had a lovely conversation, and she helped me with my pronunciations. Audiophile asked, What surprised you most about your work in audiobooks? Suzanne says, the thing that surprised me most is that it's an actual income-producing job, and it's thrilling. And it was not lost on me that my training before being an actor was in academics and French, so I spent a lot of my college and graduate school years reading a text in French and having a dictionary by my side looking up words. And then lo and behold, that's what I started to do for a living, having a text in front of me and looking up words, finding out how to pronounce things. So it felt in a way like I'd been training for it all my life without ever knowing that that's what I was doing. And that concludes our fifth interview with our Golden Voice narrator, Suzanne Torin. All right, let's turn our attention back to our reviews in children and family listening. Our next review is Max and the Midnights, and Midnights is spelled with a K-N. Lincoln Pierce wrote it, and it's read by Mark Thompson, Christopher Gebauer, and a full cast. A full cast brings a ton of energy to this audiobook. The recording booth must be an exciting place for narrators who are portraying a medieval troubadour turned into a goose, a bumbling magician, a dastardly younger brother to the king himself, a sorceress, and a band of young knights. Will these enthusiastic newbies to knightdom be able to return to the kingdom of Bijovia to order? Kudos to the cast for making a hybrid work, part traditional novel, part graphic novel, into a seamless audio production. Through animation, inflections, and pauses, a coherent storyline made from words, pictures, and thought bubbles come together. Listeners can't help but chuckle at the overlay of contemporary language abounding in slang and puns and admire the pluck and sensibilities of the characters. Anne Ritchie wrote that review of Max and the Midnights. It's written by Lincoln Pierce, and it's read by Mark Thompson, Christopher Gebauer, and a full cast. It's an Earphones winner, and it's from Listening Library for 2.75 hours unabridged, ages 8 and up. Our next review is I Am Enough. Grace Byers wrote and reads it. Author Grace Byers' graceful narration conveys the message of living life to its fullest with confidence and resilience. Her poem for children is composed of similes such as, "Like a tree, I am here to grow," and draws comparisons between the beauty, majesty, and purpose in nature and in ourselves. Inspiring courage and intentional living, Byers relishes the lyricism of language, and her light tone and crisp articulation emphasize the onomatic poetic effects of some of her words. This program may only be 3 minutes long, but it's powerful. Byers's performance and wise words, encouraging respect for oneself and the world, make for an inspirational listen for adults and children alike. Maya Fleischman wrote that review of I Am Enough, written and read by Grace Byers. It's available from Harper Audio for 3 minutes, unabridged, ages 4 through 6. Next, we have The Phantom Toll Booth by Norton Juster. It's read by Rainn Wilson with an introduction from the author. Actor Rainn Wilson displays his vocal talents with an enchanting performance of this imaginative, classic children's novel. An introduction, read by the author, sets up the tale of Milo, a child who is always bored with life's offerings, and his adventures through a magical toll booth to the lands beyond. With an engaging delivery, Wilson succeeds in captivating listeners. Soothing tones and even pacing aid the flow of the story as Milo and his companions journey on a rescue mission through the lands beyond. One can easily imagine a family enjoying the story together at bedtime. This is a thoroughly clever tale, enhanced by a gifted narrator. Amanda Murphy wrote that review of The Phantom Tollbooth by Norton Jester, read by Rainn Wilson, with an introduction from Norton Jester. It's available from Listening Library for 4.75 hours, unabridged, ages 8 and up. Continuing now with children and family listening, we have I Need a Hug. It's by Aaron Blaby, read by Ramon Del Campo. In the audio version of this picture book for young readers, a poor little porcupine who just wants a hug asks for one from her forest friends. Everyone is too afraid of her prickly spines to give her a cuddle that she needs. Narrator Ramon Del Campo gives unique voices to Porcupine and her animal companions. Whether exclaiming over the idea of snuggling with a porcupine or carrying on a conversation, Del Campo's narration embodies the animals in the story. The deceptively simple background music flawlessly enhances the text, giving the listener additional aural clues about the interactions between characters. This is a lovely listen, and would be especially so when accompanied by the print book. Amanda Murphy wrote that review of I Need a Hug by Aaron Blaby. It's read by Ramon Del Campo, available from Scholastic Audiobooks for 8 minutes, unabridged, ages 4 through 6. Our next review is Mango, Abuela, and Me. It's written by Meg Medina, and it's read by Brian Amador, Rosie Amador, and Elisa Amador. Elisa, Rosie, and Brian Amador narrate a sweet story of connecting across generational and language divides. Mia's faraway grandmother has come to live with Mia and her family. Elisa's youthful and earnest voice tells listeners of Mia's struggles to talk with her abuela, who is narrated in Spanish by Rosie. Neither Mia's Espanol nor Abuela's English is strong enough for them to share their stories. Mia's supportive parents, voiced by Rosie and Brian, help her find her courage to keep trying. Mango, a friendly squawking parrot, is narrated by Brian. Spanish is seamlessly woven into the story, and lively music, sound effects, complement the narration of the picture book's bright illustrations. Emily E. Connolly wrote that review of Mango, Abuela, and Me. It's written by Meg Medina, read by Brian, Rosie, and Elisa Amador. It's available from Live Oak Media for 12 minutes of unabridged listening, ages 4 through 6. Next, we have A Piglet Named Mercy, Watson, Book 0.5, by Kate DiCamilla, read by Mark Bramhall. Cheerful music starts off this audiobook prequel, introducing the pre-chapter book listeners to the porcine wonder, Mercy Watson. Mercy, the Watson's irresistible pet piglet, is well known from Kate DiCamillo's award-winning early chapter book series, and this origin story reveals how she came to live at Deckerwood Drive. Narrator Mark Bramhall conveys the gentle humor and charm of the sweet story, creating distinct voices for Mr. and Mrs. Watson and kind, sensitive baby Lincoln, and an especially funny nasal voice to express the disapproval of prim Eugenie. Younger siblings of Mercy's chapter book fans will be thrilled to have their own story and eager to hear the rest of the series. Sonia Cole wrote that review of A Piglet Named Mercy, Mercy Watson, Book 0.5 by Kate DiCamillo. It's read by Mark Bramhall, and it's available from Listening Library for 6 minutes, unabridged, ages 4 through 6. Next, we have Mangoes, Mischief, and Tales of Friendship by Chitra Sundar. It's read by Vikas Adam. Vibrant music plays as narrator Vikas Adam begins to tell this collection of tales from India. Adam smoothly transitions from the strong and consistent voice of the narrator to the impactful dialogue of the characters, including the young prince Vira. When the story opens, the prince is just starting to understand how to be a fair and just ruler with the grace and wit of a powerful sovereign. Important lessons are learned throughout as he uses his problem-solving skills to approach each issue that arises in his kingdom, such as disagreements among neighbors, missing sweets, and the telling of falsehoods. Listeners will be transported by these coming-of-age stories. Maria Dietrich wrote that review of Mangoes, Mischief, and Tales of Friendship. It's written by Chitra Sundar, and it's read by Vikas Adam. It's available from Dreamscape for 2.5 hours unabridged, ages 6 and up. That is our show for today. But I do hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we have the new August-September issue of Audiophile magazine. The end of summer, beginning of fall issue is filled with author and narrator interviews, news about the audiobook industry, reminders about podcasts, and Audiophile special online blogs and popular Behind the Mic series. For all your listening needs and recommendation, stay tuned to us here at Reach Out Radio. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.